continue to impart. Unless we receive from you, Lord, we have nothing of true value. We cannot live by the bread that this world offers. And so give us, Lord, your word from above, that we might understand you to a greater degree, understand ourselves to a greater degree, and this world. And may it be profitable for us. Correct us as we need it, Lord. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation of Jesus, part 13. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. There are many who talk with affection and in a positive sense about Jesus. It's hard not to. He's just awesome in every way, even as a historical figure, if you don't take him as divine. Hard to speak negatively about him. But it's not the talkers, it's ultimately those who are emulating and imitating that are walking as Jesus did. And the only way to do that is to be infused with the Holy Spirit, which is another way of saying being saved, being born again. So once you have that new nature, now we are enabled to imitate, emulate, to become like Jesus. And that is the objective of the Holy Spirit, is to make us more like Christ. Just as when Christ was in the world, he was always pointing to the Father. It was always deflection from himself and pointing to the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus. Become like Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, looking for his great return. Everything's about Jesus and becoming like him. And so he gives us the power, and then he gives us the wisdom, but because he's never coercive, he also gives us a choice. And we can make a choice as to whether we want to become like the one who we can become like. We'll never be 100% this side of heaven, but we can get in the A range as we mature. And today is a very simple one, so pray the Lord will help us just to take it in and to put it into practice immediately. I had to practice it the last 6 days so I wouldn't be a full hypocrite. So just started early on when I knew this was coming, started thanking, thank you, thank you, thank you. So today's about the fact that Jesus gave thanks. He was a thankful person. And so Jesus was revealed to turn us into sons and daughters, and we can have this new nature. And the nature of heaven is thankfulness. We had Amy alluding to the continual angelic activity of praise and glorifying God and thankfulness. It's all kind of mixed together. And he revealed the ideal human being. So Adam and Eve were the ideal, and that fell apart. So now we have this new ideal human being. And we see Jesus giving thanks. Matthew 15, 35 through 36, and directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. Now, this is always a wonderful thing in terms of how Jesus takes care of needs, and he sees needs, he's compassionate, and there's the miracle of the instant multiplication. From heaven's perspective, there's another miracle. The angels had seen this miraculous multiplier effect of seed to wheat and fish, you know, a couple fish multiplying. Just that kind of multiplication and reproduction is itself a testimony of God, speaks to God. It's miraculous in a sense. And so for 4 millennia, about 4,000 years of human history, it's like, yeah, wow, the power of God. But what was probably miraculous from the angelic perspective is finally a human being that actually gives thanks. Finally, somebody that is truly thankful. And he's not just saying it because it's rote. It's the thing we do before a meal. He actually is grateful. I'm here. I get to do this. I see the need. And I'm part. Of course, he's initiating it. He's God and man. I understand that. But a human being. And what a rare thing in our generation, as the depravity cycle continues in the West, the whole thankfulness factor decreases. And there's more of this arrogant, entitlement type of attitude, which has overtaken the culture. And that's just a sign of a culture coming to the lower ebb of the depravity cycle. And Matthew 26, 27 again, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. Someone that's truly thankful, it's something that was always very purposeful and genuine and real in the heart of the ideal human being, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ understood hunger. He understood deficits and human frailty and weakness, and he has compassion. And so having himself gone 40 days without food, it kind of hones the senses just to how very weak we really are. It has been said that we are 9 meals away from civilization falling apart. That is to say, when people go about 3 days without food, watch how fast things break down. And, of course, for Christians, we have, many of us have allowed the discipline of fasting or the blessing of fasting to be something that really causes us to recognize, to not take food for granted, and to be very thankful. And I'm always very sensitive when it comes to mealtime. Now, I'm not 100%, but I think I'm in the A range for once on something. Very thankful. And God, unless you give us food, we starve. There, unless you allow the whole cycle of agriculture, all the weather conditions, and then the farmers and all that skill, and then the distribution system, I mean, if that breaks down anywhere, there's big problems. And so God, as the ultimate source, unless you bring this forth. And so even for Jesus being Jewish, there were these Jewish berakas, these prayers of thanksgiving. And even today, Orthodox Jews will recite these prayers before their meals. And it's always a good thing to render the first fruits thanksgiving. Thank you for the meal. In fact, I've thought, you know, kind of backing up at times, like, why did God even create things the way he did? Why did he create a situation where we would have deficits? We would experience hunger? You know, why couldn't it have been, and I'm sure there's a simple answer which just eludes me, but why couldn't we have been more like a stone or something that you never need to add anything to them? It's kind of like they're settled. And even Adam and Eve, they ate. And so it implies, it's obvious that they got hungry. And something that just kind of clicked in recent years is one of the reasons why God allows that is so that it can remind us that we don't have it together. It's like a reckoning with reality. It's a reality check that I am not complete, I'm not sufficient, I need something from the outside added, and bonus, it's an opportunity to give thanks to God, which is never a bad thing. And so perhaps we could reframe meals, that when meal times comes, it's an opportunity to worship God, to give thanks, no matter how elaborate or simple it is. God looks at the heart. Our prayers are always deficient, by the way. But the Holy Spirit receives that, and it goes before the Lord like incense. And so every meal is an opportunity to pay homage, to give God his due. And then, you know, bonus, I get to eat. And he's given us taste buds and something that is not just for survival, but it's for enjoyment. Survival is there, but we can also enjoy this. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the conditions that you allowed so that this nourishment could happen. And two times a day or three times a day, God worked it in, even before the fall. God worked it in so that there would be yet another opportunity to give thanks unto God. And how sad it is, again, in today's age, where there's so little thankfulness. People will just, you know, devour food and or they go to a restaurant and there's no sense of thanksgiving. It's, this better be just right or I'm going to complain. And it's a sad situation. The Jews, during the time of Jesus also, not only did they recite prayers, but Jesus also grew up, and three times a year they had these feasts. And so you got feasts. That implies eating. And all of the feasts were about thanksgiving. The Passover, thank you for rescuing us from Egypt. Pentecost and first fruits are they kind of overlap. Thank you for the first crop, agriculture. Thank you for food. And now we're going to eat it together. And at the end of the agricultural year, the final harvest, the Feast of Booths, which reminded them again of coming out of Egypt and also God's wonderful provision. And so you had three meals a day, potentially, and then three festivals a year, which may have the very mundane effect that is so obvious, it eludes us, that these are reminders that you should be thankful and give thanks and do that often. Now, it doesn't just have to be with meals, but at the very least, your hunger pains and then the process, the event that satisfies that, is it affords you an opportunity to give thanks to God. And of course, Jesus was thankful at other times. Luke 10:21 records almost an excited Jesus. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And so Jesus was thankful for his service. All of you who serve the Lord, you come to eventually, because serving the Lord is about discipleship, making disciples and influencing, being salt and light in the world. And you enjoy it when you see transformation, whether you're direct or indirect part of it. There's a thankfulness, and you know it wasn't by my might, it wasn't by my power, it wasn't by my skill, but by cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has that excitement and that glee. He sees the light turn on, if you will, in his disciples. And he says, even the wisest of the world haven't got these things, but Heavenly Father, through me, we could interject that, you've disclosed things that were closed, you've revealed truths to these little ones. That was your wonderful will. And so thank you. Thank you, Abba Father, for that revelation. And also serving. Speaking of service, there's a saying that has floated around our church family from time to time. And I tend to, I'm a thankful person, I really am. And like I said, I'm probably in the A range. And I'm not bragging, that's only because of God's grace. I tend to thank people that serve. If I know you're serving in a nursery or doing something, thank you. Thanks for doing that. And there are some that have retorted to me when I say thank you, oh, I get to. Oh, we get to. It's almost like they're saying, oh, no thanks are necessary. I'm only doing something which is a pleasure. And it'd be like if you were eating a steak and you know, thank you for eating that steak. You think, well, that's kind of weird. I'm just blessing myself. Okay. No, we get to do this. Instead of the worldly situation where it's a burden and I've got to get through this, in God's house, there should be a sense, like the psalmist in Psalm 84, who said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, all giddy and happy. And I'd rather be opening and closing the door in God's house than be in the tents of the wicked. It's almost like realizing the wonderful situation that you're in, that, well, he brought me out of sure destruction, and now here I am in his house serving. I'm like the luckiest person ever. We get to. I get to. I mean, it's a powerful thing to have this type of attitude, to be so thankful. And to not be expecting a pat on the back. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with encouraging one another or me saying thank you. Or like in to your spouse, saying thank you to your spouse, being thankful to your children being thankful to your parents, or on the job. You know, if you're a supervisor, learning to be thankful, it goes a long way. I know of someone recently that left their position and was there for years. And only at the end, through an email, someone says something positive. The supervisor says something positive and thank you. And that person's like, you know, all these years and at the very end, you know, it might have gone a long way if there had been some of that, you know, scattered in here and there. So there's nothing wrong, and I don't want to suggest that. But here in Luke 17, 7 through 10, it's a bit of a different perspective on that. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, well, we're unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. I've had trouble with this for years because I'm prone to be thankful, and I appreciate being thanked. But when I framed it in terms of our salvation, that we're the most fortunate people, we're people to be envied, just because we get to serve the great God. We get to serve our Heavenly Father, and he resources us to do so. And we don't always appreciate the severity of the situation here in our affluent culture. We don't understand living on the edge of survival. And this servant, like many of the servants of this time, thinking of the cultural view here, it was either you were fortunate enough to serve or you starved. It was a desperate situation. You know, Jesus gave that other parable about those workers who were standing around all day, and the master comes at the end and says, you know, go work in my field. Why are they standing around all day? Because there's kids at home that won't eat. We are on the edge of starvation. And so to be able to serve is a survival situation. So Jesus refers that, and spiritually speaking, unless the Lord saved us and then we had the privilege of serving him, death was certain. And it shouldn't be about pats on the back and seeing fruit and, well, I've labored all this time, and No one's ever, how come he gave him attention and not me? Or, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. Instead, a true spirit of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, is that, hey, I get to do this. I'm the most fortunate person. And even if I'm never recognized, it doesn't matter. I serve unto the Lord, and it is he who will reward me in due season. At best, I was and am an unprofitable, unworthy servant, but because of God resourcing me, putting me in his employ, and giving me the ability, giving me a church family, or giving me a job scenario, or giving me some environment where I can be employed. If that had not happened, what would that say about me? I would be outside of the commonwealth that God has given to the church and his people. In fact, it has here, afterwards you might eat and drink. It's like God always gets the first fruits. You always give to God that which is first. So the master, he is served first, and then afterwards you'll get your due. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and 15, a very interesting verse about the first fruits or the fruit that comes from us is, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And so, unprofitable servant that I am, how can I serve God first? Is it about me getting accolades, me getting recognized, me seeing visible evidence? I mean, look at parents of children. Are those children thankful? You won't see visible evidence of the fruit of your labor for many years. But you honor God in what you're doing. God, you get the first fruits. And to continually offer up sacrifice of praise, to be thankful to God, is part of that first fruit offering. It's like when you get up in the morning. Is it like, oh, another day, woe is me? Or thank you, God, that, you know, you have given me a good night's rest. If it wasn't a good night's rest, well, thank you, God, that this evening I probably will get a good night's rest because I didn't get one last evening. You know, finding something to be thankful about. And it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be like, well, we sit around for a few hours. Well, what do I have to be thankful for? That has got to be one of the stupidest things a Christian can say. What do you got to be thankful for? Do we have enough time? Let's go through this. Anyway, so I get to serve. But unfortunately, there's such a vast amount of people that are unthankful. And even Christians. There are many Christians that there's a huge gratitude gap. What do I have to be thankful for? Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him, what's our special word there? Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Speaks to me that in terms of salvation, think about leprosy like sin and being cleansed by the blood and being free, being renewed. And they're on their way to the priest. They're on their way. They're doing their religious duty. They're obeying, and that's all good and fine. But they may be fulfilling the letter, but what about the spirit of the matter? Where's the thankfulness? And how many Christians are on their way to the priest, so to speak. They're doing the Christian walk, and they're doing the disciplines, all important. But somewhere along the line, they lose a sense of that thankfulness. 90% of this group didn't have the wherewithal. There was something about them. I mean, I don't know exactly, and I don't mean to read too much into a parable. We should never do that. But could one have thought, well, I'll just thank him later, or maybe I would have gotten well anyway, it was a coincidence, or give glory to the priest, or any rabbi could have done this, or I was already on the mend. Who knows? But to lose that tender heart and to not return to give thanks. And on top of it all, he was a Samaritan, which suggests the other nine were Jews. I mean, they really should have known better. They were already in the direction. But how often is it that those who have time, perhaps, and you kind of forget where you came from, and your heart is no longer, perhaps there's been a hardening here and there, perhaps trials, perhaps sin, and you're still on your way to the priest, but as far as being thankful, kind of left something behind. And that's the Spirit. He's helping us today. He's wooing us back. If you've lost that sense of thankfulness, to ask the Lord to help you. It really should come naturally to a Christian, but other things intervene. And we're Americans on top of it, so we're already spoiled, and we have this entitled generation that there's like the spirit of the age, which also can dampen that perhaps to some extent. But be careful, because unthankfulness is not just a fruit, it's a bitter root. Romans 1:21, although they knew God, now this is talking about humanity in general, although people knew God, they had a sense that there's something beyond this world, they did not honor him or give thanks to him. And those two are complementary. They go hand in hand. Honoring God, worshiping, acknowledging, submitting, that's all honoring, and giving thanks to him. So the human race, Paul's saying by the Holy Spirit, they had a sense of God and the conscience, and of course they were without excuse because even nature tells all people that there's a creator. Instead of honoring him and giving thanks as they should, they didn't. So what happens? They became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, many understand the second half of Romans 21. It's like a section of a litany of abominations. And what stands out often in that second section is the whole homosexual thing. But that's not the only abomination that is in that section. There's a bunch of others. But those are all actually fruits of some roots. And one of the bitter roots which can contribute towards many different abominations, many different bitter fruits, is not being thankful. It is like a gateway to evil. You know, some people describe like marijuana as a gateway drug, and among other reasons, that's one reason why you shouldn't even start it. Unthankfulness is a gateway vice that causes you then to not celebrate, to not acknowledge, to have humility, to see yourself for as you really are. And then, you know, no wonder other fruits begin to develop. 2 Timothy 3:1-2, it's one of the characteristics of the last days. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Ungrateful. And I don't know if there's any purpose or not. I just saw the proximity. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful. How many children are not honoring their father and mother in the home or in later years? totally ungrateful, unthankful. Well, if you had a mom or dad like me, listen, we've all had moms and dads that were imperfect. In fact, Jesus categorically said all fathers are evil. So understand. But surely mom and dad, they did something. They were a part of your life. They were important to some extent. You know, at the very least, mom gave birth to you, and so she went through all that pain, let alone everything else. And for children to be ungrateful to their parents, now, we don't expect that gratitude early on. That's something that hopefully will develop, and we should teach them to some extent. Hey, your mom spent time doing that. Son, you need to be thankful to your mom. You need to be thankful to that person across the counter and not be sitting there impatiently, you know, demanding and entitled. Well, I'm paying them. So there should be gratitude, being thankful to people. And that curse, that curse that comes with not honoring your father and mother, that has to be connected to ungratefulness, to unthankfulness. And perhaps there's some that need a little bit of provocation today. You know, when's the last time you said thank you to your father or to your mother and you've blessed them? And in doing so, when you bless and honor your delegated authority, you're blessing and honoring your true authority, which ultimately is Jesus Christ. So just some thoughts there. In the end times, though, a lot of ungratefulness. I've noticed this even, I've pastored for about 30 years now, and there are times when as a church we help people, and certainly internally, and I don't apply this internally, but there are times when there are people on the outside, and I've noticed over the last 20 years that people aren't as thankful as they once were. I mean, here you are helping them with their Ameren bill or helping them with some food cards or whatever. And it's like, hey, you know, don't you all exist to give me this Walmart card? You know, aren't you kind of like the government in that way? You know, we should just be able to come and cash in at any time. It's a sad thing. There truly is this phenomenon of diminishing thankfulness as we move along in our era and most likely approaching the coming of the Lord. I want to finish off today with a choice. We all have a choice. It is in us to be like Jesus. And one of the things Jesus was, he was a thankful man. It's in us to be thankful, but we can choose whether we'll be thankful or not. Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thankfulness. So we can either allow goodness to proceed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is it going to be filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking? Now, I would include foolish talk. I would include in that complaining. Please try not to look one way or the other. But do you happen to know anybody who's a chronic complainer? Continue to be stiff-necked. Try, resist the urge. And don't name a name, by the way. There is no end of complaining. Have you ever heard complaining in your home? Have kids ever complained? Has your husband or wife ever complained? Has there ever been any complaining at work? Oh, what a crazy thought, right? That is like, it's chronic in so many places. Or pretty soon, you think any students will be complaining? Or teachers? Well, there's a choice. We can either complain or be thankful. Complaining and thankfulness are almost like mutually exclusive. The more thankful you are, the less complaining. The more complaining, obviously, the less thankful you are. The most thankful people will be the least complaining people. There's a certain degree of they've reckoned with reality, and boy, I'm the most blessed person in the world just to be saved, and I get food and clothing. Doesn't the Bible tell us having food and clothing, we should be content? How many of us is that described, by the way? So I'm saved and I have food and clothing. I'm the most fortunate person in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But complaining? Complaining about how everything isn't the way I want it to be and how everything's so awful? Chronic complaining indicates, listen very carefully, an unthankful person. If you are a complainer, you may think, oh, I also, maybe I'm not an A, if I was graded by others, but I'm a very thankful person. Ah, are you really? How much of that is actually, complaining takes up a lot of that space, and it makes life difficult for others. Think about Israel. Did you know the deal breaker for Israel getting into the promised land was their complaining? You would think that they would be the most thankful people ever. No longer slaves, and our God delivered us from the mighty Egyptian army. And we actually went through this sea. And then once we all got across, the water came down and crushed the army that was following us. And then we got bread from heaven, and we got water from a rock. And we were given this destiny. Keep going this way. You're going to a land of milk and honey. You would think that there'd be thankfulness, but not so. Because of their grumbling and their murmuring. They're murmuring in their tents. Deuteronomy 1:27. And now Moses is recounting their failure. And he's basically saying, this is why your generation won't go in. And you murmured in your tents. How many of us murmur in our homes? Murmur to our spouses? You murmured in your tents. That's complaining, groaning, grumbling. And said, because the Lord hated us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites and destroy us. Can you believe the stupidity of that statement? I mean, this is people that are filled with complaint and discontented and become malcontents, they become a little silly in their thinking. Look at what they, as they look back, they said, God hated us. Oh, so this was God's plan all along. Obviously, because he hated us so much, he took us out of slavery and bondage. Yeah, that's hatred. Obviously, because he hated us so much, he took us through the Red Sea, and he's given us his wonderful destiny. What a hateful God. And his plan all along is to deliver us into the hands of other oppressors. How twisted is that thinking? You see, thankfulness helps to keep you sober. Thankfulness helps to give you a sound mind. Ah, God has done all these things for me. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out and saving me from all my bad decisions. Thank you for keeping me today. Thank you for food. Thank you for clothing. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for the so many things. And when you're not thankful, then you focus on what you consider like the bad things, like the black spot on the whiteboard. And you begin to get a little distorted. That's all that matters, that little thing. Now I'm upset. Now I'm groaning. Now I'm it's like Haman. Haman had all these things going for him, but because Mordecai wouldn't bow down, my life's miserable. It means nothing to me. How many of us have that kind of stupidity that is ready to rear its head because of this one thing? This thing isn't right. And now I'm complaining, and I'm making everybody else miserable around me with my complaint. Ah, but you have a choice. You don't have to let that foolish talk or complaining proceed. Instead, let thankfulness come up. Hold on a second. I can be thankful. Ephesians 5:18-20. Do not get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving, what's our word there? Thanks, always, and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every good and every perfect gift is coming down from my Father of lights, whether it is pleasant or whether it is afflicting. If it's from my Father, I can give thanks for everything. He's got my best interests in mind. He knows what I have need of. He knows what needs encouraging. He knows what needs correcting. Thank you. This is all part of worship and spiritual life. And then we finish off with a verse that perhaps many of you have memorized. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There are people that go years in their Christian experience. I wish I knew what the will of God is for my life. If only God would show me His will. Well, I can suggest one aspect of His will for you, and that is to give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When you're thankful, it has a sanctifying effect on you. It keeps you from getting a little crazed in the mind. And we go through various circumstances in life. Now, we've got to be careful with this verse in that we may not have to give thanks for all circumstances. Like, when I'm like the third day into a horrible flu, thank you for this flu. Thank you for, this is just wonderful. That's just not being true. God always wants us to be true. But I can be thankful in it, in that I know God, who's healed me in times past, is going to heal me in this particular circumstance. Whether He brings me out of it here or whether I die, I'll be healed of this flu. You get pulled over. You see the lights, the unpleasant lights behind you. What are they, the raspberries, or what are they called? Anyway, cherry, yeah. You've been pulled over a lot, haven't you? And, oh, thank God I'm being pulled over. It's a wonderful thing. You don't have to thank God for that, but you can be thankful. And actually, the few times that I have been pulled over, I always thank the officer. Thank you for your service that you render to our community. And I pray for the police officers. How often do you think they hear that during the day? You know, there's respect up front. You're a delegated authority. I'm ticked off, of course, because I got pulled over. But there's probably something that needs correcting, like my stickers. They were off, you know, getting a renewal, a couple months off. I didn't even know it. So I was at least thankful, okay, I'll take care of that, because usually I take care of those things. I'm ahead of things. And thank you, officer, for what you do. You can give thanks through all things. Was Job thankful that he lost all 10 of his children? Of course not. But ultimately, he could still worship God and acknowledge that you are the source. I came into this world with nothing. I leave with nothing, but I can still give glory and praise to you. This is the will of God. And so let the Spirit today help us to be a people that are thankful, that are that reflect Jesus, that honor Him, and find opportunities. Why don't you take 7 days and fast complaining? Perhaps this is the fast the Lord requires of you. Oh, it'd be easier to fast food. Not eat fast food. I mean fast meals. How about fasting, complaining, and for 7 days be purposeful. Thank your husband. Thank your wife. Thank your children. Children, thank your parents. Thank your employees. Employees, thank your bosses. Thank your pastor. Thank people. Be thankful and bless God in doing so. And so let's, if we could, stand and we'll close out in prayer. And Father, we praise and we thank you for every good thing only comes from you, for you alone are good. And you've given us a little discipline today, perhaps, or encouragement, whatever. We're thankful. We are thankful to you. We're thankful to you for this church family, this place of peace, and these times that we have together, these brief times before we all get to heaven with our other brothers and sisters in eternal glory. Thank you for giving us the ability to get here today, the safe trip. I pray for a safe trip home, for food and clothing, for the teachers and the nursery workers, for the security team, the tech team, those that clean the church. Thank you for all the labor that goes in and the growth, the maturity. Unless you build, we labor in vain. Unless you watch, we watch in vain. So thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protection, provision, and peace. It only comes by you. And Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to be purposeful this week and to perhaps even surprise somebody with a gratitude that is not common in this day and age. All glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessings upon you.